Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Our focus will be in verse 15 and following, but we'll read the whole chapter. This is God's word. Then Joseph, leaning over his father's face, wept and kissed him. He commanded his servants who were physicians to embalm his father, so they embalmed Israel. They took 40 days to complete this, for embalming takes that long. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. When the days of mourning were over, Joseph said to Pharaoh's household, "If I have found favor with you, please tell Pharaoh that my father made me take an oath, saying, 'I'm about to die. You must bury me there in the tomb that I made for myself in the land of Canaan. Now, let me go and bury my father. Then I will return.' So Pharaoh said, 'Go and bury your father in keeping with your oath.' And Joseph went to bury his father, and all Pharaoh's servants, the elders of his household, and all the elders of the land of Egypt went with him, along with all Joseph's family, his brothers, his father's family. Only their dependents, their flocks, and their herds were left in the land of Goshen. Horses and chariots went up with him. It was a very impressive possession. When they reached the threshing floor of Atad, which is across the Jordan, they lamented and wept loudly. And Joseph mourned 7 days for his father. When the Canaanites, inhabitants of the land, saw the mourning at the threshing floor of Atad, they said, 'This is a solemn mourning on the part of the Egyptians.' Therefore the place is named Abel Mizraim. It is across the Jordan." So Jacob's sons did for him what he had commanded them. They carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave at Machpelah in the field near Mamre, which Abraham had purchased as a burial property from Ephron the Hethite. After Joseph buried his father, he returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had gone with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said to one another, "If Joseph is holding a grudge against us, he will certainly repay us for all the suffering we caused him." So they sent this message to Joseph: "Before he died, your father gave a command. Say this to Joseph: 'Please forgive your brother's transgression and their sin, the suffering they caused you. Therefore, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when their message came to him. His brothers also came to him, bowed down before him, and said, "We are your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. Therefore, don't be afraid. I will take care of you and your children." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph and his father's family remained in Egypt. Joseph lived 110 years. He saw Ephraim's sons to the third generation. The sons of Manasseh's son Machir were recognized by Joseph. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will certainly come to your aid and bring you up from this land to the land he swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So Joseph made the sons of Israel take an oath: "When God comes to your aid, you are to carry my bones up from here." Joseph died at the age of 110. They embalmed him and placed him in a coffin in Egypt. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out.
Joseph's brothers had done a very, very wicked thing, and they had persisted in it without repentance. They didn't think better of it and decide, we've got to go and try and track him down. We've got to go rescue him. We should never have sold him into slavery. I mean, they allowed him to rot in Egypt. But God was at work. And so when they find out that Joseph is alive and that he is their brother and that he's sending for their dad to come down to Egypt, everybody comes and it's good times. I mean, it's wonderful. We're being treated like royalty. Not the heir, but relatives of the king. You know, it's a nice situation. I have lots of royal blood coursing in my veins, just so you know. But let's just put it this way. I am related to the current royal family in Great Britain. I'm related to Queen Elizabeth. I was related to the Queen Mother when she was still living. I'm part of that line. But they were the ones who got the throne, not our relatives. Okay? It branches off. If you have a bunch of kids, they can't all sit on the throne unless they kill each other, which sometimes happens. But I just want you to know that being related to royalty may not, over the generations, improve your financial position, but it does make you think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, which is Romans 12. Now, these fellas had the best of the land in Egypt. They were able to have their livestock there, their cattle, their sheep, and there was food for them. They got plenty of food. Joseph saw to it. He looked after them as long as Dad was alive. But when Dad dies, they go through this period of mourning and everything's about the funeral and who's going to do this and where are we going and are they staying? Are they coming? I mean, it's all. And then it's like, oh no. Now that Dad's gone, Joseph may take his revenge. Their conscience still wasn't clear, was it? When they want to try and make things right, they don't just apologize. They come. They didn't come even. They sent a message to Joseph. Okay, they were afraid to come into his presence. They were afraid of him. Let me just ask you a question. Logistically, could he have had them killed? Would it have been easy? He had this thing called the Egyptian army. I mean, if he wanted to wipe them out, he could have had them hamstrung and publicly killed. He wouldn't have had to do something surreptitious. He could have publicly had them executed. But he wasn't angry. He wasn't bitter. They were still troubled about what they had done, but they're still not repenting. They come up with another deceit. They haven't changed. These guys are still a pack of liars. And so they send a message to Joseph saying, before our father died, he gave this command. Command. Now, Say this to Joseph, please forgive your brother's transgression and their sin, the suffering they caused you. Did Jacob have plenty of opportunity to talk with Joseph about that? Did he talk with him about a whole bunch of stuff? Did he call Joseph in to him for a private meeting before he let the other brothers in? Okay? So do you think Joseph is saying, oh, I guess it's a message from Dad? No, he knows it's a lie from his brothers. That pack of liars. They're a bunch of liars. Bad guys. And they're saying to him, and it's not even believable, before he died, Dad commanded that we should ask you to please forgive us. Dad's asking. It's not us. I mean, Dad, okay? Do it for him. And Joseph wept. He just wept. These guys have been in country being taken care of by him for years. He's looking out for them. He's put them in the best area for them to be, the place that would be most hospitable to them and their livestock. And despite everything he has done for them, they still don't trust him. There are many things that are bad about lying. Number one thing that's bad about lying is God hates it. And that's all you got to know. But there's more. God promises to punish all liars in hell forever. Promises it twice in the book of Revelation. So don't lie. God hates it. Liars are going to burn in hell forever. But there's another thing too. There are actually several. But one more thing that this brings up, and that is when you're a liar, you can't trust anybody. It's true. When you're a liar, you can't trust anybody. Because you think, how do I know they're telling me the truth? I wouldn't be telling the truth. And so there's always this suspicion that, you know, I really can't be at peace. I really can't be at rest. I really don't know that you're not trying to con me here. Let me just tell you, all of us have a problem in this area. That's why we need new life in Christ. But one of the tragedies is that after everything Joseph did for his brothers, they didn't trust him. Now, if he didn't trust them, we'd say, well, I understand that. Okay, those guys are a bunch of liars, and he's experienced it. But they're the ones who don't trust him. No matter what he does, no matter how kind he is, no matter how many years it's gone on, their conscience is still not clear. And because their conscience isn't clear, they are living in fear. We've said this several times in our study of Genesis. Oftentimes, fear is tied to guilt. And if your conscience is not clear, you're likely to have a fear problem. You're giving the enemy a foothold. Well, where can a person get a clear conscience? How can you get a clear conscience if you've done wrong? There is a solution. His name is Jesus. You can come to him, confess your sins, receive his cleansing. And when Jesus has forgiven you and declared you forgiven and righteous in God's sight, then you don't have to go around feeling guilty anymore. And you don't have to lie about stuff. These guys who have sinned grievously are still not being truthful. They're not going to say, well, come on, Joseph, we didn't throw you in that pit. You know that you climbed down there yourself. They can't talk their way out of that one. So what they're saying is, we know we did wrong, but Dad said you're supposed to forgive us. Please forgive your brother's transgression and their sin, the suffering they caused you. And then the brothers say, therefore, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. What? Let's bring God in there. We can tell Joseph is very religious. Okay? So, you know, your earthly father who just passed away, one of his last requests was that you would please forgive us. And I think that would also please the God of your father whom we serve. These guys busy serving the God of Jacob? I haven't seen a lot of evidence of it. Not a lot to suggest that they were devout followers. But in a moment like this, I want you to know that I'm a very spiritual person. I cannot count the number of times that people have tried the God card on me. Okay? When they have messed up and they're trying to get out of something, then suddenly they want to bring God into it. Let me just tell you something. It makes me want to weep. And that's what Joseph did. He just wept. His brothers also came to him, bowed down before him, and said, "We are your slaves." They were trying to save their lives. They're terrified he's going to kill them. And so they said, "We'll do anything. We're yours. You can do with us as you please. We are your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid." He knew they weren't offering themselves as his slaves because they decided, "You know, I think you are so wise that you could do a better job of managing my life than I can do for myself. So I would like to offer myself completely in obedience to you." That was not it. They were simply trying to bargain and save their lives. Don't kill us, enslave us. That's what they were offering. And Joseph says, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" Okay, now we're going to camp there for a moment. Joseph asked them the key question that explains why Joseph felt no responsibility to try and get revenge. Am I in the place of God? What does Paul write in the book of Romans? Do not take revenge. Leave vengeance to God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. God's going to make things right. You say, "You don't know what that person did to me." No, I don't, but God does. And you know what? God promises he'll take care of it. God knows every detail and he promises to make things right. He's going to settle all accounts. If you want to be like Jesus, start praying that God will have mercy on your enemies. Because God has had mercy on you. Jesus, as he hung on the cross, said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Stephen, as he was being stoned to death, said, "Lord, please do not lay this to their account." And one of those who was standing there giving consent was a man named Saul of Tarsus, who would become the great apostle Paul. Joseph says, "I left that with God a long time ago. I didn't sit in prison plotting how I was going to get even. Man, if I ever get out of here, I'm going to put together a band of thugs and we're going to go and slaughter my brothers one by one." No. No. That's the stuff that's in movies and video games. Tragically, that is sometimes the stuff of real life. But it is not real life. It is death. It is evil. You simply become part of the problem. And God has promised that he will make things right. He knows what you've been through. And God promises that he will repay. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." So Joseph said, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You planned evil against me. God planned it for good, to bring about the present result, the survival of many people. You did not value my life, but God valued yours. And God chose to use your evil to save many people. You can see it. It's happening right now, Joseph says. God intended what you meant for evil to be used for good, for the survival of many people. Therefore, don't be afraid. What did he say in verse 19? Don't be afraid. What does he say in verse 21? Don't be afraid. What does God say to you? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Trust in God. Don't let fear control your life. You know what the devil tries to do with fear? Tries to keep you from God's blessings. Things that are trying to scare you and say, no, you can't do that. No, you'll never succeed. No, it's not worth trying. Don't make yourself look silly by trying. Just go ahead and give up. Hold back. Don't try. The enemy will try to scare you so that you do not receive what God has promised. God promises that he will bless his children, even if it means spending time in an Egyptian jail. Whatever comes to you, don't be afraid. Trust in God. And so, he says, I'll take care of you and your children. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph is comforting his older brothers who mistreated him so badly. Is that amazing? That's grace. That's grace. He's comforting them. And then he says, now, there's something I want you to do for me. God's going to get us out of here someday. We're not going to have to spend forever in Egypt. Just like we took Dad back up to the home country and buried him. Someday we're all going to go back there. Our descendants will go back there. And I want to be buried back up there too. You make sure that when God comes to bring us up out of this place, that my body is transported back there. That's going to be generations. But that command is going to be remembered. And the promise is going to be kept. There's a legacy. Why does it matter? We said this last time. It matters because this was a display of confidence in God's promises, both regarding the inheritance of the promised land and regarding the resurrection. If there's no resurrection, it doesn't matter where you're buried. If there's no resurrection, it doesn't matter if you're buried. But when a believer is buried in the ground, it is an act of faith. Just like when we plant corn in the ground, it's an act of faith. We are looking forward to something new coming forth. Something beautiful, life-giving. Wherever I get buried will not be my final home. I'm going to be in heaven. And I want you to know, I want you to be there. And there's only one way, and that's Jesus. But if you're trusting in him, you don't have to be afraid. You can live in this life with confidence, boldness, knowing that God has promised he will never leave us or forsake us, and we will be with him forever.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. www.wearsvalleyranch.org.